إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be the continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muntaqa by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyata alayhi rahmatullah. Bab Al-Habt wal-Qars wal-Af anil-Athar Ba'dahuma. The chapter has to do with Al-Habt. Habta yahutu means to scrape something. Wal-Qars means to rub something with water, just like pinching something, but with the application of water. Wal-'af 'an al-athar, and to overlook the trace of something. Ba'dahuma, after one has scraped it and one has rubbed it. And Asma bint Abi Bakrin qalat, from Asma, daughter of Abu Bakr, she said, جاءت امرأة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت, a woman came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and she said, إحدانا يصيب ثوبها من دم الحيض. One of us, our garment may be stained by the blood of menstruation. كيف تصنع بي, how is she going to undo this? فقال, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تحطه, she will scrape it, that is with the application of maybe something like a bone or a stone, or the use of the fingernail in order to remove the blood that has stained the garment. Ordinarily, the blood, when we see it on a garment, we can see the traces of the blood most of the time. But is this something that is maybe that will have a kind of not ordinary the trace, but maybe the blood has clots, for instance. Now I'm having a clot of blood on the garment. Is this something that is possible with respect to the blood of Hajj? Some scholars said yes. In fact, some people said scientifically this is also possible. Because what the scholars will say is that when we talk about the blood of Hajj, it does not clot. The surge in the womb, it will start like something that is clotting, but the womb will secrete something that will make it somehow watery. And when it comes out of the womb, out of the vagina, it will not clot again. So this is how a lot of fuqaha will differentiate between the blood of Hajj and ordinary blood. Ordinary blood, if it comes out, it clots. But the blood of Hajj does not clot when it comes out. But some argue that you can still see some particles of blood that has clots even in that of Hajj. That thing that is secreted may not really dissolve the thickening blood. So you still have some particles of blood of Hajj that is coming from the womb that has not been dissolved. I hope it is clear. So they said, if that is possible scientifically, most likely this is what this Sahabiya is referring to. At times, when this comes out, it is somehow thick. And when it is thick, it means you see the substance, not just the stain. Not just the stain. If somebody takes Pepsi, for instance, now, or Fanta, and it drops on the garment, you see the stain. If they ask you to scratch it or scrape it, it may not be easy for you. The stain will still be there until maybe you wash it with something else. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said tahuttuhu, she will scrape it. That means if she scrapes it either with a stone or with a bone or with a fingernail, something that is noticeable, so to say, or tangible, will be removed. Then the sign will still be there. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if she observes something like that on her garment, tahuttuhu, she will scrape it. That's the first stage. Tahuttuhu, she would what? She will scrape it. Then what's the next one? Now? ثم تقرصه بالماء. Then after that, she would rub it with water. She will apply water after she has what? Scrape it. Because if she does not scrape it, if she just apply water straight, it will spread. But by scraping it, since it has become dry, by scraping it, she has removed the lump, so to say. So it will be easy for her to what, to do al-qars, either by rubbing the clothes against each other or using the fingers to rub it with water. So that's what will also reduce it. Then what's the next one? ثُمَّ تَنْدَحُهُ. Then after that, she'll wash it. She'll wash it. So an-nadhu can mean to sprinkle water on something, and it can also mean to what? To wash something. That's why when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُنْدَحُ مِنْ بُولِ الْغُلَامِ وَيُكْسَلُ مِنْ بُولِ الْجَارِيَةِ. So the urine of a boy that has not been eating other food apart from water and milk, the mother's milk, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if such a child, a boy, urinates on the clothes, it can be sprinkled. That is enough. But if it is a baby girl, one will have to wash it the way you wash the urine of somebody that is grown up. I hope this is clear. So yumdahu can mean to wash at times. in some of the ahadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the word yundah to refer to yuksal. And he also used the word yundah in some ahadith to refer to what? Just to do rashul ma, to sprinkle water on something. So in this, we take the yundah to mean what? Al-ghaslu. Thumma tandu'uhu, then she will wash it. Thumma tusalli fihi, and after that she can pray with the garment. She can pray with the garment. So we benefit from this, that the blood of Hajj, the menstrual blood, is a filth. It's a filth. So this is ijma on it. The scholars, they have consensus that the blood of Hajj is a filth. It's a filth. What about other blood apart from the blood of Hajj? What about the blood of istihada? Istihada is the blood that comes from a broken vein, though from the womb. But it's different from the blood of Hajj, as we have said. The blood of istihada, when it drops, it thickens and it becomes what? Like a clot. Unlike the blood of Hajj, the blood of Hajj, when it comes out, it's somehow watery. It will not clot. So they use this to differentiate between the blood of Hajj and the blood of istihada. Don't forget, we said at times, the blood of Hajj, you may see some thick particles in it. But generally speaking, the blood of Hajj has already cut edge in the womb. Some things were secreted to dissolve it. So when it comes out, it will not thicken again. Except those ones that are not affected by those, by that secretion. So they will thick. But the blood of they will be thick, and what, they will be clotted, so to say. But out of the blood of istihada, when it comes out, it's just like ordinary blood. It's like when you sustain an injury and the blood drops, you see, in no time that blood becomes what? Becomes a clutch. In no time, it becomes a clutch. So they use it to differentiate between the blood of Hajj and the blood of istihada. Now, is the blood of istihada also a filth the way the blood of Hajj is a filth? Some scholars said yes. Some said no. Those who say yes, why? They said it's not a filth because the husband can have sexual intercourse with his wife if she's suffering from istihada. And if a man is having sexual intercourse with a woman, that blood is coming out of private parts, and we say this is permissible. That means, if you take it to be what? To be filth. That means he's inserting his organ into what? Into a filth. So they said, so that means it is what? It is pure. It's not a filth. So this is what? The arguments of some of the scholars that have said it. And that's why some said that it is not permissible for a man to have sexual intercourse with his wife when she's what? Suffering from istihada. But this will be something that will be very, very difficult, because a woman may be suffering from istihada, maybe in a month, for instance, maybe this istihada will last for about 20-something days. So maybe the husband cannot have sexual intercourse with her. And that's why most scholars will say the husband can have sexual intercourse with her. At the same time, that does not mean that the blood is not a filth. The blood is a filth. But it is just like what? An exception, so to say. So what most scholars are upon is that the blood of istihada is also what? It's also a filth. It's also a filth. But somebody that is suffering from istihada, how is she going to do? We know that when a woman wants to pray, she has to clean herself from filth. But now she's suffering from istihada, incontinence of what? The blood. She's suffering from this. So we say the case is like somebody that is suffering from incontinence of urine. It's like the case of somebody that is suffering from incontinence of urine. A man or a woman that is suffering from incontinence of urine. What does this mean? That is, if a man urinates now and he cleans himself up, or a woman urinates, she cleans herself up, in no time, she will or he will experience another discharge of urine. In no time. So he asks her to go and clean up herself again. In no time, another experience. So this has become what? Something that shakuna aliha. It has become something that is very difficult for her to cope with. And the principle is, when we have what? Mashaqqa, there is difficulty. We have what? A taysir. There will be a kind of contention, so to say, if there is difficulty. There will be a kind of contention if there is difficulty. So just like someone that is suffering from incontinence of urine, so despite the fact that urine with ishma is what? It's a filth. So who said the man cannot have sexual intercourse with the wife, or the wife cannot have sexual intercourse with the husband because he or she is suffering from incontinence of urine? The same thing we say, the fact that the woman is suffering from incontinence of the charge of blood from a vagina, which is not the height, that does not prevent the husband from having sexual intercourse with her. And that does not mean that that discharge is not what? Filth. How this is played. Now, the next question is, what about the blood that comes from other than the private part, other than towards the vagina? Is the blood filth or not? The blood that comes out from human being, is it filth or not? What most scholars are upon is that it is also filth. The blood that comes out of the human body is what is filth. In fact, most scholars are of the opinion that even the blood of animals, the blood of animals is filth. This is what most scholars are upon. Somebody that sustains an injury, for instance, if we say the blood is a filth, and somebody sustains an injury, we know that the injury will not heal instantly. There will still be the traces of blood. There will be traces of blood. At times, the traces of blood in some injuries may be for days, so to say. And we have said that blood is filth. So are we going to treat that? The jumhur of the scholars has said this is something that is yashukku taharruzu anhu. It's something that is difficult to avoid. And if something becomes something that is difficult to avoid, we say what? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So they said what? Such blood is overlooked. Yes, it's filth, but it's overlooked. Just as we are overlooking the urine that is coming out of somebody's when the person performs ablution, for instance. He has performed ablution. And we know that if urine comes out of the private part after one has performed ablution, what happens to the ablution? It has broken. It has been broken. Correct. But this person is experiencing this. So they say what? The one who is suffering from Salasu al-Baul will be performing ablution for every solar. There is possibility of somebody suffering from what? Incontinence of feces. Incontinence of feces. Just as they suffering from incontinence of urine. Somebody will be suffering from incontinence of feces. Just as a woman is suffering from incontinence of what? The charge of blood from the vagina. Not the height now. As we have said, it's the harder. So, they say we treat that issue of somebody who has sustained an injury and blood is coming out, and we can help it. So we'll have to pray with the blood on his watch. Even the blood will stain his garments. If he says, let me change my garments now and put on another garment, the blood will stain it. Even if he bandages the injury, the blood will still stain it. And if he goes ahead to pray, he has prayed with what? With blood on his body. So, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. This is the way majority of the scholars will look at this. At times, they talk about yasiru dima, little dima, that is little blood. They say it's ma'fun anhu, it's overlooked. The siru tima, little blood. Like somebody that is suffering from nose bleeding. Somebody that is suffering from nose bleeding. Blood comes from his nose. So blood is what is filth, according to what most scholars are upon. How is he going to do? They say, well, this is little. Little blood. Or they say, what? This is something that yashuku. However, some scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah and some, they are of the opinion that the only blood that is filthy is the blood of hajj, stroke the blood of nifas, possibly stroke the blood of istihada. That is the one that is coming from the vagina. But the blood that comes from somebody's body, apart from that area, they say the blood is not filthy. What is the evidence? They will say, for instance, Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, ما زال المسلمون يصلون في جراحاتهم ما زال المسلمون يصلون في جراحاتهم. The Muslims have not ceased to pray with their injuries, that is the injuries that contain blood. So the Sheikh Ali rahmatullah and some who took his position, they said, what? That shows blood is not filthy. Likewise, they use as evidence the case of the two men that were watching, that were guarding the Muslims in one of the battles, so to say, and one of them was observing tahajjud. He was fired an arrow and blood started gushing out. He did not want to break the salah, he continued the salah and watched till he died. So he called his attention of his the other brother. When that one got to know, so before he could help, the man had already gone. So he continued his salah. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah in Tamam al-Minna said is an evidence that blood is not a fuse. Why to be a fuse? The man will not continue his salah. Likewise, it was said that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu once slaughtered a sheep, so to say, and fatalat taqa bidamihi wa farsi, and was stained with the blood of the sheep and watch the fars, that is the dung of the sheep. They said fadhaba wa salla, and he went to pray. He did not wash the watch, the stained blood. So Sheikh Al-Albani, Tamam al-Minna, and some other scholars, they use this as evidence to establish that the blood that is najis is the blood of hajj, stroke, nifas, took istihada. But other blood is not najis. So if somebody has what blood on his garment now, and he prays with it, will not say he has prayed with what? With najis. So the fact that one is encouraged towards to remove it does not mean what? It is najis. This is the argument. Now, who can tell us how will the jumhur of the scholars respond to this asar quoted by the sheikh, used as evidence to establish that the blood that comes out of one's body apart from that of the vagina is not a filth? How do you think the majority will respond to this? Who can help us out? Now, if the blood is not much little, so it's ma'fun, okay, that's one explanation. Which other explanation? Now, okay, no, before we go to that, how do you think they will respond to the case of the two companions that were observing, one of them was observing Salah and he was fired an arrow, and he continued the Salah while blood was coming out of his body, staining his garment, and he didn't stop the Salah? How will the Jumhur respond to that? Huh? No, not Ishtihad. No, he's aware that he has been fired an arrow. I've just mentioned what the Jumhur said earlier. If it's something that Yashukku Taharruzu Anhu, how can somebody who is observing Salah, how can he now take off his garment? If he take off that garment and puts on another garment, won't it be stained with blood again? It will still be stained with blood. So this is what Yashukku Taharruzu Anhu. How this is clear? So if we go back to what you have mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us know that is what, it is something that is a rich or something like that. So that is حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected with that. So حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. Huh? So if we look at it from this angle, the Jumhur will use things like this to support their position. But Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah and some others will say, At-Tahrim la yaltazimu at-tanjis. As far as something is haram, does not mean it is najis. Poison, for instance, now it is haram for you to take poison. Does that mean that poison is najis? Does that mean that what poison is najis? No, it's not najis. The fact that it is forbidden for us to eat it does not mean it is because it is najis. And don't forget, even in a situation where it is mentioned with respect to the pork, we know, we said some of the Malikiyah, they said the rich to there is what? Is rich to Ma'nawi, just as we have it in the case of with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisr wal-ansab wal-aqlam rishsun min amali shaitan fashtanibu. So Allah is the word rishsun there. So al-asnam, is it a filth? Is it physical filth or abstract filth? You get it? That some of the Malikiyah said, the wound that of the pig, it's not because the pig is najis. But because it is haram for us to eat the meat, you know, I mentioned this, that some of the Malikiyah, they said, if a pig drink from what? From a bowl of water now. And the water is still pure. But when you bring the verse, كُلَّا أَجِدُ فِي مَا حُيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَىٰ طَعِمِ يَطْعَمُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَيْتَةً أَوْ دَمًا صَوْنًا أَوْ لَحْمًا خِنْزِيرًا فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. He said the rich to the rijsiyah there is what? Rijsiyah ma'nawiyah. But to be on the safe side, one should be with the jumhur. In the case of the pig, that is a correct, that the pig is what? Is najis. Najasatan hissiya. It is physically impure. Huh? The pig is physically impure. One should deal with that. Then with respect to this issue of Adamu as well, one should deal with the jumhur. Wallahu a'lam. Yes, there are some scholars that said, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen Ali Rahmatullah, in some of his works, try to differentiate between the blood of animals and the blood of human beings. Then he tried to, or some of the Hanabila, they excluded the blood of Shuhada. that those who are killed in the battlefield, that their blood is not najis. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it will be smelling of what? Of musk on the day of Qiyamah. Rash is not najis. And he also said what, they should be buried in their clothes. That shows it's not najis. So there's some try to exclude this from the genera and that of the anima. Some try to do that. Some try to exclude that of the fishes. You know, some fishes have what? Have blood. So some try to what? To exclude that of the fish. And we know that it is said that what is in the water is what? وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِسَيَّارَةٍ. So it is what? It is halal for you. The صيد البحر, that is the one you hunt by yourself. You hunt them alive. Then the ta'am is what? Is the dead animals of the sea. So the fishes in the sea, they have what? They have blood. Is the blood of the fish also najis? Some scholars said yes. Why some say it is what? It's excluded based on saying what? It is halal for you to eat the dead. And these animals that you are talking about, for instance, if they are animals with blood, the scholars of fiqh will say what? Ma lahu nafsun sa'ila. When they use nafsu there, they mean what? Damu. What has a flowing blood? Anything that has a flowing blood that is permissible for you to eat, if it dies in and of itself, it becomes what? Meita. Huh? It becomes what? Meita. And Allah said what? Hurrimat alaykumul meitatu. But part of the fish is excluded. Uhilla lakum. Uhilla lana meitatani. What the man? There are two types of meita that are what? That are halal for us, and two types of what? Blood. He said what? What are the meitatan? Asamaku wal jarad. Asamaku wal jarad. Then what are the two blood? Huh? No, the two blood. Al kabij watihal. Al kabij watihal. So the one that consensus here is the stomach, that there is what? Extraction. So meita, you don't eat meita. Even meita of what? Of the animal that you allow to eat. Not to talk of what? The meita of the animal that you are not allowed to eat. If a lion dies in and of itself now, you can't eat it. Even if you slaughter a lion, you can't eat it, because it's what is Muharram al-Hakim. You can't eat it. So your slaughtering it does not make any difference. Not to talk of if the lion dies in and of itself. But if you slaughter a cow, a goat, then you eat. But if the cow or a goat dies in and of itself, you cannot eat, because it has become what? Meita. You get it now. So you cannot eat it. And it is what? Not ordinary, you can't eat it. It has become what? Najis. You know, there is a difference between you can't eat something, and that thing is what is najis, as you have been explaining. You can't eat lion even if you slaughter it. So you can eat cow or goat if you slaughter it. But if the goat dies in and of itself, you can't eat it, because Allah forbids it. But at the same time, it has also become what? Najis. It has also become najis. And if something is najis, you can't eat it. It has become what? You cannot eat anything that is najis, you cannot eat. But not everything that you cannot eat is najis. How this is clear? Let me ask this question. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said meitatan, that is two meita, he mentions al-jaraj. Al-jaraj, does it have blood? It has. Okay, we are talking about the one, the blood that you know, not the blood of it has no blood. So since it does not have blood now, it dies, is it najis? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not najis because it doesn't have blood. Can you eat it? What is the evidence? Because of the text. Now, can one eat fly? Does a fly have blood? Flowing blood. It doesn't have. Can one eat it? Can one eat a fly? Is a dead fly najis? Why are you saying the dead fly is not a najis? Because it doesn't have what? Blood. Because it does not have blood, so it is not najis. Is it clear? It's not najis because it does not have what? Blood. You got the... It's not najis. It's tahir. But can you eat it in the Sharia? Why? Now, it falls under what they call the khaba'ith. It falls under what they call the khaba'ith. And when they talk about the khaba'ith, they talk about asharat al-ard, that is the insects and the reptiles, some of these reptiles, but majorly these insects. You can't eat them because they fall under the khaba'ith. But are they these insects that do not have blood, are they najis if they die? They are not najis. Why? Because they do not have blood. They do not have what? Nafsun sa'ila. They do not have what? Damun sa'il. Flowing blood. So, and that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a fly falls in your what? In your food. You say what? What did he say? Dip it inside. If it is najis, he will not ask you to dip it inside. He said, because in one of the two wings, there is what? A disease. And in the other one, there is a cure, the antidote to that disease. Now, but can you eat fly? You can't eat fly. But when the fly falls in your food, it is not najis that has fallen into your food. If a drop of urine falls into your food, you can't eat it. A drop of urine falls into your food. Because that drop of urine has what? Has done the tenjis of that food or that water. So you can't eat it. So a fly is falling in your food now, you can watch. You can eat it. If you are able to do what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you to do. But if you are unable to do it, you don't know, maybe he has deposited some germs in the food which. So if you go ahead to eat it, and you watch, you contract a disease, so you shouldn't blame anybody except yourself. Because what you are asked to do, you do not do it. So what I'm trying to say is, if something is najis, it is haram for you to eat. But if something is meita, it is not necessary that watch, it is najis. It is not necessarily najis if something is what is meita. So the meita of what has what damun sa'id, flowing blood. At the same time, that does not mean what you can eat. You can eat it. So let us go back to what the Sheikh has to say. So the Sheikh said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the woman that summatan dawwa tusalli wa tusalli fihi. So three things. She would do al-hattu, al-qarsu, and watch al-najhu, al-ghaslu bil-ma. Huh? Now we've talked about the blood. I said, Wallahu A'lam. Which one is the worthiest opinion here? Is the blood other than that of the Hajj, Nifas, Istihada? Is it najis or not? Huh? Going by the Jumhur is what is najis. In fact, some people quoted what Ishma on it. Some people quoted what Ishma on it. But as I've said, some scholars, they do not subscribe to that. But in a situation like this, it is good to be with the majority of the scholars. It's good to be with the majority of the scholars. So the instances of somebody praying in a cloth, in a garment stained with blood, we say this is what? This is in a difficult situation. This is in a difficult situation. So there is no difference between the blood of Hajj and other blood. وَفِيهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الدَّمَ الْحَيْجِ لَا عُيُوفَ أَنْ يَسِيرِهِ. The Sheikh says there is an evidence that little blood of Hajj is not what overlooked. Unlike ordinary one. وَإِنْ قَلَّ لِعُمُومِهِ, because of the general implication of this. وَأَنَّ الطَّهَارَةَ السُّتْرَةِ شَرْطٌ لِلصَّلَاةِ, and that the sutra, what you want to cover yourself with, is what is a condition for the validity of your salah. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed that she should do all these things before she can what? Before she can pray. So, and that's why when the scholars are mentioning the shurutu, sihati salah, they will say what? Taharatu al-thawbi wal-badan. وأن هذه النجاسة وأن هذه النجاسة وأمثالها لا يعتبر فيها تراب ولا عدد. This نجاسة تراب sand is not considered. It's not what considered. Do you understand what he's saying here? No, when we're talking about the dog. He said, "Tawuru inai ahdikum idha walaga fi al-kalb an yaghsila usaba marratin wala unna bitura." Don't forget, he said, if you go back to Mu'attab Imam Malik, you won't see what? You won't see this turab there. Rather, you see what? Falyaghsilu sab'a. He should wash it 7 times. And so that's why the Malikiya believe that it's not because the dog is filthy, but it's ta'abud. Do what you have been instructed to do. Do what you have been instructed to do. But since we have the ziyada of what? The turab, then we have to what? We have to take it. And we take it to mean what? To mean that it is, that the dog is what? It's filthy. Why? Because of the word Tahur inai ahdikum, which is not what? And muwaffa. So because of the word tahur, we say what? The dog is filthy. The sur of the dog is what? Is filthy. Obvious is clear. So then this washing it 7 times. Some scholars are of the opinion that anything that is najis, you have to wash it 7 times. Anything that is what? Najis, you have to wash it 7 times. So, the Sheikh let us know that since 7 times is not mentioned, except in that, in the case of the dog, we should not extend it to other filthy things. We should just limit it to that of the dog. And this, wallahu alam, is the correct view. Then we are not going to apply sand because sand is not mentioned here. It is only mentioned in that of the dog. Now, in last class we said, in the absence of sand, can one use something else? Huh? According to some scholars. According to some scholars who believe that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opted for sand because it is common. Ordinarily, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have said one should apply something like ushnan. Ushnan is like a kind of leaf that is ground. It makes it look like this soap, like this soda of a thing, like this surf or umu and the likes. But because of the Rihanna, so to say, of things like that, said we should use sand. But we said this may not be acceptable. It may not be accepted. It is good we stick to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. But to also transfer that of the sand to other fields, this will not be okay. Even transferring the 7 times mentioned in that to other fields will not be okay. So this is what the Sheikh is referring to here. وَلَا عَدَدْ وَهُنُوا النُّمْبَرْ وَأَنَّ الْمَاءَ مُتَعَيِّنٌ لِإِزَالَةِ النَّجَاسَةِ وَأَنَّ الْمَاءَ مُتَعَيِّنٌ لِإِزَالَةِ النَّجَاسَةِ And that water is compulsory to remove najasa. Do you get what they say? Now, the jumhur of the scholars, their position is that what you use to remove filth must be water. Must be water. the water should be what? Al-ma'ul mutlaq, absolute water. When they say al-ma'ul mutlaq, that is the water they say you can use for ablution and rishwa ghuslu. Ablution and rishwa ghuslu. Are you with me? So they say you cannot use any other thing to remove filth. It must be water. Unless, if we see a text that says this particular filth, in this particular situation, something else can be used. Take for instance, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rubbed his sandals with sand. He said in a situation like that you can use sand. But without an example like that for you to say, okay, I can also use sand to remove this filth, which remove, say no. In fact, you can use other, what's it called? What's sa'ilat? Ma'iyat, that is other, what do you call it? Clean agents, but that are liquid, sorry, yes, liquid. Thank you. Liquid, you can use other liquid. Take for instance, there is urine in this garment now, they now pour some liquid. He said, no. It does not clean. You have to make use of what? Water in addition. Al-ma muta'ayyin li'izalati najasat. This is the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, that you have to use water unless if you see what? A text that says you can use other than water, like that case that we mentioned. But in the absence of that, you want to remove filth, it is water, al-ma'ul mutlaq, that you use according to what the Jumhur will say. And you know, when we say al-ma'ul mutlaq to the Jumhur, you know it is the Malikiyah that assault when it comes to the issue of what? Water. That as long as what? The, even if it's something that is pure that has fallen in water, you can still use it as long as what? Are you with me? So, some scholars, wallahu alam, which is the correct opinion, that we are not bound to remove it with what? With al-ma'ul mutlaq. What matters is that the filth goes away. Whether it is with water, or with sand, or with the air, or with, the most important is that it goes away. It goes away. That's the most important thing. And this is the view of the Hanafiya. This is the view of the Hanafiya. And wallahu a'lam, it is the Wahhabiya opinion. Now with this, can you dry clean your clothes that is filthy? Not that is, I'm not talking about dirty now. I'm talking about filthy, maybe urine or something of that nature as falling on the garbage. Can you dry clean it or you must launder it? You know there is a difference between laundering and what dry cleaning. When you are dry cleaning, you are not applying water. But when you are laundering, you are what? You are applying water. Can you dry clean it? If you say no, why? That is, if you take the position of those who say al-ma'ul mutlaq is what is required. But if you take the position of who say the most important is that if it goes away, so if you dry clean, that filth is going away from it. That filth is what is going away. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the with their opinion. But what is important is that the filth is removed. That is what is important. So some of the minority who have taken this position, they have a lot of arguments. Part of their argument is that كانت كلاب تبول في المسجد كانت كلاب تبول في المسجد أو تبول وتقبل وتدر في المسجد ولم يكونوا يَرُشُّونَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. That during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dogs will urinate in the masjid. You know, it was filled with sand and the likes. So tukbil, what tukbil, the dogs will be going around the masjid. وَلَمْ يَكُونُ يَرُشُّونَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And they will not sprinkle water on it. What happens then? It means it will be dried off. So the most important thing is that what the smell, that is the odor of the filth, and the color, the taste, are not yet. Once it is removed, so they use this as what? As evidence. But the Jumhur will say no. That the dogs will urinate outside the masjid. Then the dogs will watch, will come inside the masjid, will be going. Then these people argue that, okay, if the dog urinates outside the masjid, most likely the dog will step on the urine and they will take what? The urine inside the masjid. So they will take the urine inside the masjid. So they said that as long as what? The filth is not there. If the filth is there, that is when we say, okay, it must be removed. And it does not really matter whether it is removed with water or other than water. Wallahu alam, this appears to be the strongest or the stronger opinion. Wallahu alam. I think we should stop here. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك. Now, if you argue that way, that okay, if you agree that the dogs who urinate in the, let me try to bring out the hadith. If you agree that the dogs who urinate outside the masjid or inside the masjid, which one? Inside. Sorry, I'm coming. Naam in Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Udu, Bab al-Ma, Al-Ladhi Yuksalu Bi'i, Shar al-Insan. Said an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the next Ali said, كانت الكلاب تبول وتقبل وتدبر في المسجد. كانت الكلاب تبول وتقبل وتدبر في المسجد في زمان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلم يكون يرشون شيئا من ذلك. So the dogs would urinate and go and come. You know, I said, some said, like Edmund was saying, he said, they will urinate outside, because here did not say what they will urinate inside the masjid. What he said is currently kilab taboo. The dogs urinate. Watukbil watujbiru fil masjid. You know, if you want to, in the interpreting that the dogs will urinate and what go and come inside the masjid. Urinate and go and come in. So they said that tabul here should be interpreted as what? They will urinate outside. So if they urinate outside, most likely they are going to step on the urine, then they will enter the masjid. So this is buttressing the position of those who say what? The dogs urinate inside the masjid. Now your own question now is that, can't we say even if the dog urinates outside or urinates inside the masjid, and since it is on the sand that the dog has urinated, can't we say the sand as what has removed the filth? If I get your question. Now if that is the case, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned water as well with respect to what? To when the dog licks your bowl or drinks from your bowl. Water plus what? Sand. Where is water here? Huh? And ordinarily urine should be what? Should be worse than what? Saliva. Because the urine of human being is filth. The urine of human being is filth. The feces of human being is filth. But saliva of human being is what? It's not filth. You get it now? So, we can use it as evidence to say the sand is enough. Because even the other hadith talked about the use of what? Water. Why would Imam Malik believe it is water that is what? That is more important? Because the other hadith mentioned, that is in his own report, did not make mention of what? Of sand. But Allahu A'lam, once it dries off and we cannot see the traces of the filth, then Wallahu A'lam, we don't need to bother ourselves to wash now. Okay. Now there is a hadith to that, but the hadith may be interpreted as the people wearing animal skin. So if urine, for instance, splashes on that skin, instead of what, washing it, they cut it off. Not their own skin, the animal skin that they... Huh? Huh? And milk. That is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said what? Yurashu min bawli al-ghulam wa yundahu yuksal min bawli al-jariya. So that does not mean that the urine of the small boy that is still dependent on the milk of the mother and ordinary water. That doesn't mean that what? His urine is not filth. His urine is what? It's filth. But it's what? Is the lesser filth. Scholars have what they call what? Al-Najasa, that is what? Al-Kubra, then is what is called what? Al-Najasa, Al-Sugra, something, Al-Mukhaffafa. Huh? That is lesser. So the one that is lesser is like that one. It's a lesser watch, lesser filth. It's just like the mildew that comes from a man or a woman. Mildew is what? It's najis. But how to take it off? Sprinkling of water may be enough at times. Unlike what? Urine. Urine is what? It's najasa, that is what? that is maybe Kubra or something that is Sekila. So you have to wash it. You have to wash it. Then the one that is washed is that of the dog, according to what Jumhur of the scholars, that you need to wash 7 times. That is what you need to wash 7 times, applying sand to it. Is the worst of the najasa. Other najasat, you can just treat them by just ordinary washing. When we say washing, al-ghaslu is you rub against. There will be something of zalk. That is ordinary washing. It is in between now. When you are rubbing the clothes or the thing against each other, it is called what? Al-ghaslu. God word al-ghaslu in this situation. But in the case of the dog, you have to apply sand again. It shows it's what the najasa of dog is thicker than the ordinary najasa. And the one that you don't need to open up, just sprinkling of water is enough. It's like what the bolu asabi, the urine of a small boy that has not started eating other than the milk and the water, that is not depending, still depending on the milk and water, depending on milk that is the mother's milk now, or the milk of a woman. So Allah a'lam. Last question, inshallah. Can a woman prevent that? No, it's a case of broken vein. And different things can lead to that. Some women that use contraceptives, they may end up having istihada. They may end up having istihada. So it may affect their vein in the womb, for instance. And be observing this incessant discharge of blood. So Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka la umma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruk.